And that was where I met my husband. Was right there when I was working at that PS.
Really? And who was he?
He was Thomas Pork Sergeant, Staff Sergeant, and Thomas Anthony Porco, First Sergeant. And Thomas Anthony Porco.
And you mentioned that he was at Pearl Harbor when it was bombed.
He was at Pearl Harbor when it was bombed.
Gosh, did he tell you about?
Well, he talked to me about it a little bit, but I really never knew about it until I went back to receive his medals this following year, the commemoration last year at Pearl Harbor. When they sent me his medals, and I had to go back and look over his discharge, and I found out what part of the island he was stationed at, because he never had said. He just said he was at Pearl Harbor when it was bombed, and I found out where he was, what part of the island he was on, because you had to be on a certain part to be a survivor of Pearl Harbor, and I sent all this information in to him, and then he was, you know, he was shipped out, and he was sent to, like all of them were to Bougainville and places like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where he contacted malaria, and that was when he was sent back to the States. And he was sent to Fort McClellan, and that was where I met him. And at that time, I was 17 years old, and he was 27. And we knew each other approximately 6 months, I guess. And it was just something about him that he was just like somebody I never met before, you know. He was just real nice. And we were married. We were married at in Trenton, Georgia, in Rising Farm, Georgia, by the Justice of the Peace, June 2nd, 1945. And It was just one experience, you know.
He was the love of your life.
Huh? And that's right. He sure was. He sure was. And we had almost, he passed away in 74, so that was, 29, 30 mm-hmm. years or something like that. And had four children. And, gosh, Diane, when you told me to do this interview, I got to thinking, how can I think back over all these things? It's just like, it's like you forget, and then you try to remember, and you think about all the times you've been through, and what six awful sisters I had. Which I love everyone if they ever hear this. I'll be a dead person. But We had a good childhood. We had a hard time.
Well, let me ask you. You was talking about you went to work. What about any of your sisters? Did some of the rest of your sisters?
No.
Some of the others go to work during that time?
No.
No, just you, huh?
No.
You, the one that took that step out.
Right. The rest of them went to, two of them graduated, the baby, and my sister Betty graduated, first one of us to graduate. And then my sister Ann, she graduated. And the rest of us was, the rest of them could have, but they just didn't, you know, it wasn't no big deal then if you didn't finish school.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just one of those things. You if you wanted to finish, you know, you did. If you didn't, you didn't. So then they didn't push it. And then my mother came back, and that was when my dad found out he had leukemia, and we lost our home, the head bowl. And we moved back to the Mill Village, and that's when things were really rough.
Was this during the war, or was this after?
This was after the war.
Well, now, during the war, let me ask you this. You're talking about things being bad, and I guess it was bad all along,
so
you didn't pay attention to a lot of things. But do you remember during that time rationing?
Oh, yes.
And things of this? How do you remember that?
Well, you know, you had to have tokens. You used tokens in, and you had to, you were lucky if, thank the good Lord, I didn't wear stockings back then, hose back then. But it was a ration of everything. It was.
What would you do about not having hose?
Well, you know, you either, I guess you had to have somebody that knew somebody had hose. But it was hard. Nylons, you just didn't get them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had to have ration for gas. You know, if you didn't have, they had tokens back then, what they call tokens. You had to have those. And then you were just allotted and allowed so much. And you know, if you went over, well, that was just it.
What about sugar? Is it hard? Yeah. I remember hearing that was hard to get.
It was. Sugar was hard to get. But, you know, back then...
What about coffee?
You learned to do that. Or, you know, you learned to say, well, you know, it's not like it is now. You don't run in and punch a toaster. And you don't run
used to have it.
That's right. An electric coffee pot. And that Hack and Opal brought it home this week. When the power went off, you say, you know, I like to panic. You know, there's no power. There's no television.
That hurricane wasn't a lot like you now, was
it? I think it was. Gone, but not forgotten. But it was, it, you know, you didn't have it. Mm-hmm. You would sit back and you would say, you know, I wish I had it, or I guess we're always wishing. And maybe there never was enough to eat. Mm-hmm. And I know I was in the doctor's office the other day, and this black lady was talking to me saying, I remember when things were really hard. And I said, well, yes. She said, you know, I got up a many morning to corn pone and beans. And I said, well, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I said, we were lucky. I said, usually we just had biscuits and gravy for breakfast. I said, but believe me, we have that big pan of cornbread that you cook cakes in, now sheet cakes in. And we had a 2-pound sack of beans. That's what we eat. And we were glad to get it back then. Mm-hmm. So it was just, it was hard.
Okay, what about some more activities? Did you, like, remember going to some of the places where the boys would be entertained? And
I was a member of the USO.
Oh, you was? Well, tell me a little bit about that.
Well, it was held down there where the old police, is it the police station now, where the old mental health center used to be, uh-huh. In that part in there? It was in there. And I was, me and my cousin both, we were members of the USO, plus some other girls that we'd got to know, and we were on the committee for that, and that was where I learned to dance. That's where I had my first evening dress, and we were just, you know, we thought we were just real stylish then. I mean, we were really stepping out, but I was one of those people that wanted to get out to see things and to do things, and back then I got out and I saw what I could see and did what I could did. And when I lost my husband in 74, I found out that I had to become a breadwinner. Mm-hmm. And so it was the workforce again, and here I was, 7th grade education, couldn't do anything. So I went back to get my son, see about him going to school and getting his GED. And while I was there, Miss West, I never will forget her, was a real nice lady. And she said, well, she said, we might be able to help you. Have you ever thought about getting your GED? And I said, oh, no, ma'am. I said, I'm 46 years old. I couldn't ever do that.
And this was in what year?
This was in 74.
Okay. So after the warden, you married Mr. Porco.
Right.
And then you just stayed at home.
Right.
You got out of the workforce. Uh-huh. And stayed at home all those years.
Married in 1945. And all those years I stayed at home. I never had did anything but raise a family. Uh-huh. And go to church and have activities in the church. And this and that. And in 74, here I am with a 16-and-a-half-year-old son and no income, mm-hmm. like that. So I had to go back to the workforce again. And so when I was talking to her, she said, well, have you ever thought about going back? And at that time, I had hurt my leg sitting up with my mother, and I had something wrong with it. And she said, well, have you ever thought about maybe you could go under, I forget what they called it then, but it was a disability thing, you know, maybe they could pay for your books and your schooling if you could get your GED. And I said, oh, I don't think I could ever do that. And she said, well, why don't you let me put you down for it? She said, I'm going to send you over to this doctor, Dr. Knupp. And he checked my leg out, and they were real nice. And they examined my eyes because I needed glasses that time, and they were real good about getting me glasses. And so Ms. West arranged it, and I went to the old Anderson High that has been torn down now. And there's where I take my GED. And when I went in that day, I lost my husband in June the 4th, and I think this was in August. I went in that day in that classroom, and I looked around, and I thought, Lord, I don't know why you sent me here. But I've asked you, and this is where I'm at. Here was about 25, 18, and 19, and 20-year-olds, and I'm sitting in with them. And I said, well, I'm here for a reason. And when I went back for my grades, they told us when to come back for our grades. And I've always liked to read. I'm a reading nut. I read all the time, books all the time. And so we went back, my son went back with me, and she said, and she asked my son, she said, your mother must read a lot. And he said, well, she does. And I thought, no, don't let him say, what kind of books are we? Romantic books. But she said, I had the score high enough that I could enter Jacksonville and take some courses.
That is great.
If I had wanted to. So I told her, I said, no. She said, sometimes in your life you must have picked up something. So that's why I try to impress with young people. It doesn't matter what you learn as long as you're learning. You never know when it's going to come in handy. Always learn.
I agree.
And so I entered Ayers Trade School and typing and bookkeeping. And there again, I was stuck with a group of 18, 19, and 20-year-olds. But I had a ball with them. Wouldn't have traded it for the world.
You find they're real accepting. Very yep. accepting when you get
I take the business course, and I learned how to type, learned a little bit of shorthand. But most of all, I learned to spell again. My spelling had got to zilch. I mean, you know, if you don't spell, I'm talking about simple little words. Mm-hmm. And I learned to spell again. That was one good thing about it. And which I was graduating, and I was graduating as an A student. And this friend, one of the little girls that worked in there, she said, have you thought about going to work? And I said, well, no, not really, you know. And she said, she was working in Martin's at Kids Depot. Well, it was Martin's then. It's where Kids Depot is now. Uh-huh. It was Martin's then. And she said, well, I'm working up there. I said, you want to come to work up there just as part-time? This was just before Christmas. And I thought, well, now me and my son, you know, can use that money if it's right before Christmas. But I said, we can use it. So I went to work there. And it just happened that one of the assistant managers of this store was a young boy that I had known all his life. He grew up in Glen Addy Apartments Projects, where I raised my children. And so I worked through Christmas. Never realized that I'd get the first check on Christmas Eve and couldn't even cash it. So we were laughing about that. And Diane, I had to borrow the money from your daddy to get gas to even go to a Christmas party. So we, I didn't go back. I didn't report back to work after Christmas because I thought I was just part-time help. And then Robert Fuller, he called me. He said, hey, are you coming back to work? And I said, well, I thought I was through, you know. I was just Christmas help. He said, no. He said, they want you back at work. So here I was, lived in Glen Addy, never had learned to drive. I had to walk from Glen Addy to Wakefield's, Martin's store there. I worked a half a day. I had to walk back to Glen Addy. And then that evening, I had to walk back. And that's when I made up my mind, as quick as I saved up enough money, I was going to take driver's education, and I was going to learn how to drive. And I did. I enrolled in driver's education, and I learned how to drive.
And how old were you then?
Let's see. I was 48 years old.
That's right.
So I learned how to drive. I took driver's education, and I learned how to drive. And I won't never forget the state trooper. This girl said, go down there. This lady state trooper is there. You know, you'll get her. She's real good. No respect. Got down there. No, here comes this big man.